evening, everyone. Welcome back to the Fresh Wine and New Oil. Fresh oil, new wine. Let's start this evening with praise and worship together. Welcome to those online.
Thank you. Oh, We bow down and worship Yahweh. Mighty God, we worship you. Lord, we bow down and we worship you, Yahweh. Oh, we bow down and worship Yahweh. Lord, we bow down and worship you, Yahweh. Kadabush and the Rebak. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Mighty God, we worship you, Lord. Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Be glorified. You, Lord, we adore you, we bow before you. Oh God, receive our worship. Help of the helpless, we call upon your name, Savior, healer, deliverer, anointer, giver of life. We worship you. We adore you. We exalt you. Be glorified, O God, in the mighty, eternally wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shakata tabore balakaya. Hikara da debo shandere kiatosoko.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Blessed be his holy name forever. Thank you, worship team. Really appreciate your ministry tonight. A few years ago, the National Stadium in Lagos, Nigeria, I had the privilege to share the word of the Lord and impact the lives of many, excuse me, many ministers. And I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with a man of God that I'm about to introduce to you tonight. And tonight, it is a privilege to share this time with him. That particular day, myself and another great general of faith that is impacting the world shared the word of God together. Pastor Paul and Netcher spoke. This giant of faith that we'll hear tonight spoke, and God's grace impacted the people. We had the privilege of hearing him last night. And tonight, I introduce to you Bishop Felix Omobude. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a blessing last night? Tonight you get to hear him again. God bless you as we welcome you all to this special conference, Fresh Oil New Wine Conference. Receive the man of God.
I welcome everybody to this platform, and I'm honored to be a part of the Fresh Oil New Wine Conference. And I want to thank Bishop Mike Zeno for this opportunity. It is my prayer that this time will be a blessing to everyone that has connected with us. I am reading from the book of Esther in the Old Testament, the 9th chapter, and I will read just verse 22. Esther chapter 9 and verse number 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portion one to another, and gifts to the poor. Thank you, Father, for your word. breathe upon this world and, Lord, use it to meet needs, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver the bound. Let there be strength to the fainting. Do that which only you can do, and be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm speaking on the phrase, from sorrow to joy. If a man is in darkness and suddenly light comes, he knows. If a bird is in the cage and suddenly a wave of escape comes and he's flying again in the sky, he enjoys the freedom. It is the will of God that the gospel which we preach should impart lives, change them from darkness to light, from sorrow to joy. In Psalm 30, verse number 5, the B section says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The writer of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1, he says, there is for everything a time and a season, for everything under the sun. In verse number 4 of Ecclesiastes 3, he said, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. He went on to say, there is a time to mourn and there is a time to dance. For quite a season, the Jews were facing existential threat under servile bondage. They were slaves. And a man called Haman made things terrible, subtly engineered the king to sign a decree to wipe away all the Jews in that land. The threat was real. The decree was signed. A date for the execution of all the Jews was set. Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, sent a message to her and challenged her. And he said, do you think you will be saved in the palace as queen more than all the rest Jews? And he said, if you fail to act, God will bring deliverance from another place. That is instructive, that our God cannot be limited. He must make a way, no matter what. And so Esther got the message. She went into fasting. The Jews went into fasting. And indeed, God moved. And the Bible says, in the night, the king could not sleep. Things began to happen. A divine intervention is what the world needs. And the church is the agency for activating and implementing heaven here on earth. God moved in response to the prayer of his people. Haman, the enemy of the Jews, was hanged in the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. And that was not all. That decree that the king made was reversed to the advantage of the Jews. And I speak to someone here today. Every evil handwriting, unholy decree, and pronouncement, or curses that have been passed into your life are today by the authority of God broken and reordered and decided in your favor. So on the day that the Jews were supposed to be executed, a new decree came that everyone who stood against these Jewish people should be killed. This is amazing. And the Bible says the Jews turned from sorrow to joy. This is what the gospel is about. In John's gospel, chapter number 4, Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings. The world is bedeviled with evil news. News of death. News of rape. News of killing. News of terrorism. News of immorality. The world has no good news to render. The church have what the world doesn't have. No wonder Peter and John at the beautiful gate told the man that was crippled that silver and gold we don't have. And they said, such as we have, we give unto you. We have what the world doesn't have. We have Christ, the crisis crusher. We have the joy of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus said, he has anointed me. He read that scripture to give them beauty in the place of ashes. The oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. We have that gospel. And I come to you today in the name of resurrected Christ. Wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, no matter the color of your skin or your status in life, there is a divine intervention for you that can transform your life, give you a complete turnaround, a transmutation that will put joy and gladness in your heart. A transformation from sorrow to joy, from poverty to riches, from sickness to health, from trouble and crisis to peace and tranquility. This is offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, he told him, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness into light. This is the gospel, that there is hope for the hopeless, that you can rise from obscurity and you can sing. The Bible calls it in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the blessed gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel, it is glorious, it is beautiful, it is powerful, it is liberating, it is illuminating, according to the blessed, the glorious gospel of our blessed God, which is committed to my trust. It is this gospel that I take this opportunity to bring to you today, that the fresh oil and the new wine can be your portion. You can sing a new song. You can enjoy a season of peace and prosperity. You, in Acts chapter 3, verses 9-20, the Bible talks of times of refreshing. Enough is enough of tears. Enough is enough of pain. Enough is enough of panic. Enough is enough of intimidation, the fear of disease, of pandemic, of trouble. It's enough. The world needs refreshing, and God is willing to give you. Whosoever you are, wheresoever you are located, I ask you to open your heart. He talks of times of refreshing. Then he talks of times of rest, of restoration, of your peace, of your joy, of your family, restoration of our values. The gospel has this in place. I am pleased to let you know that your freedom has been paid for. You don't have to be caged. You don't have to be in bondage. No, Psalm 124, verse number 7, says our souls escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. Praise the Lord. I announce to you that every setback, every power of the enemy, the yoke of the evil one in your life today can become the expiration date. That yoke is destroyed by deed of the anointing. And you can sing a new song. And you say, well, Reverend Omobude, what do I do? Open your heart. Believe the gospel that Jesus came into this world, sent by God as an act of love to humanity. He came into this world. He did good. He carried this gospel from city to city, from village to village. He went everywhere. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good, healing the sick, releasing the oppressed, bringing joy to the sorrowful, feeding the hungry people, clothing the naked. That is the gospel that I bring to you today. And the Bible says, he went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he had you in mind. He carried you to the Father. When they nailed him to the cross, it was not really the nails that kept him there. It was his love for you and for me. He bore your shame. He bore your pain. He bore your reproaches. And that is why the prophet Isaiah said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You catch this by revelation. When you open your heart and receive Jesus and accept that he paid the price for you, then this transformation begins. You can move from sorrow to joy. You can sing a new song like the psalmist in Psalm 40, verse number 2. He said, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He said, he set my feet upon the rock to stay. And he put a new song in my mouth to sing. That can be your portion. In Psalm 34, as I close, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. He sent this invitation to everyone. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. This is the transformation. This is the season of refreshing. This is restoration. And this is what redemption is about. May I ask you to allow God into your circumstance? You try to be good, but your best doesn't seem to be good enough. You try to swim out of the waters, but it's like the tide is against you. The psalmist will say, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Jesus is his name. I pray for you today, and I ask you to open your heart and receive him wherever you are, around the nations of the world, whether you are high or low, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are educated or illiterate. He came for you. He paid the price for you. Say, Lord Jesus, say it where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I open my heart to you, and I receive you. I repent of my sins. I accept your sacrifices. Now, I confess with my mouth that I am born again. I am a Christian. I invite you into my circumstance. Change it from sorrow to joy. Change my life from shame and from pain and from defeat to victory to celebration. Let your sunshine shine upon my life. Give me the refreshing that you have promised. I receive it now. I thank you, Father. I pray for my viewing audience and all that have joined in this very precious hour. Where sin doeth much harm, your grace abound much more. I believe your arms are wide open and that you have received these ones. Write their names in your book of life. I take authority and dominion over every weapon of darkness, over principalities and powers, over every consequence of sin. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I command every sickness and disease and pain, you foul attack, you blinding spirit, deafening spirit, cancerous spirit, pains and aches, the spirit behind barrenness, the spirit of stagnation, I rebuke you. Lose your grip and get out now. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim emancipation, complete freedom for everyone, and its transmutation now begin to be enforced. I enforce heaven's order that the bound is free, that the sick is healed, that the poor is blessed. Move to your new position. It is well with you. And I bless you and bless all that are yours. In Jesus' name. Now, if you have been touched by this message, contact Bishop Zeno. And this is a program worth supporting. If God moves in your heart, please support this program. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ekashadadadaba. Who is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord. Blessed be the name. Sing it to your father. Who is worthy and adored? So we leave the holy name and what I call singing blessed. Blessed be the
blessed be the name.
Jesus, you are.
You are wonderful, Lord, and we magnify your glorious name. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we have received already. And thank you, Lord, for that which you are yet to say to us. We position ourselves to receive your full purpose for this gathering, this convocation. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The God we serve is an awesome God. I did not know, in real terms, that we were going to have a doubleheader today. But God is orchestrating everything that we are doing. Every directive we follow. Because the God we serve is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan. He's a God of objectivity. Those words are not original to me. They're the words that my spiritual father, Papa Maurice Cerullo, kept on declaring. God is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan, and he's a God of objectivity. Nothing that happens in our life happens by happen chance. I may not know and understand everything God is doing, but this one thing I do know, that whatever it is that he's doing righteously. He has a purpose, he has a plan, and you know what? He sets up the devil every time. Hallelujah. The devil thinks he knows how to snare, but God is a master snarer. Praise God. And so when we are going through situations, we must come to this place of confidence in recognizing that the God we serve is not shocked by anything. And he's moving step by step by step. And every step that he brings us through is a miraculous step for his glory and honor. Amen? God is preparing us all through this year. The Lord has been preparing us for a greater purpose. 2022 is going to be a very interesting year for so many people. But God is preparing us so that we're going to go through 2022 as if whatever it is that's befallen the world had nothing to do with us at all. Hallelujah. 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 But for that to happen, we've got to have the fresh oil and the new wine. You say, why do I need it? Well, because if you don't have it, you are going to falter. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" The anointing is to bring you to a place of inheritance. Hallelujah. That is good news. Verse 6 says, he says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Praise God. The anointing of God causes you to come to a place where you begin to prophesy, begin to declare particular words, and brings you to that place where you are turned into another man. But how many of you know that Saul, who received this anointing, because he did not get a fresh anointing, a fresh oil on his life, fell through until he started consulting with witches? It's more than one anointing. If you're going to make it, you need more than one anointing. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter and verse 13. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren." He was anointed in the midst of his brethren while they were all looking. "And the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Oh, praise the Lord. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But how many of you know that this one that was anointed with a horn of oil was the same one that committed murder and committed adultery? So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we need to get a fresh anointing from God consistently so that we can possess our possessions. You are never too anointed. Praise the Lord. We all need a fresh anointing. Praise God. In Psalm 92 and verse 10. Psalm 92 and verse 10. It says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall..." Somebody say, "I shall." Say it again, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Hallelujah. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. God is going to exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn. And I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And the 11th verse says this. Watch this. It says, "Man, I also shall see my desires of mine enemies." This anointing causes you to see your enemy, whatever that enemy might be. If it be a character flaw, you will see it. If it is a demonic activity, you will see it. "Mine eye shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." This is what the anointing does. It causes you to see and it causes you to hear so that you are never entrapped by the enemy. You need the anointing, the fresh oil of God consistently flowing in your life. Hallelujah. If you and I are going to escape the agenda of the enemy, we must consistently stay under the fresh oil of God's favor, God's presence, God's power, God's authority in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, "The righteous,
This is what the anointing does. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Wow. Oh, glory. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Why? Because of the anointing. If you do not have a fresh oil from God's presence, you are not able to be steadfast in faith. Instead of you hearing what happens to your enemy, you become the one who is hearing what your enemy is doing, and you start to falter. That is not our portion. Hallelujah. The 14th verse says, they shall still bring forth fruit. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Why? Because of fresh oil. Don't miss it. Verse 15 says that because of this fresh oil, and because they are still flourishing, still growing, still prospering, he says, all of that is to show that the Lord is what? Upright. He is my rock. Didn't we hear that from Bishop Omobude? Yesterday and again today, God is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see, because of the anointing, that our enemies are exposed and their agenda brought to naught. The word of God says in the book of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9, talks about the association of the enemy. It says, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in what? Pieces. So associate yourself. Doesn't matter, but you're going to be broken in pieces. It says, and give ear. Watch this now. It says, and give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. So, doesn't matter what your confederacy is. You're going to be broken. Hallelujah. In pieces. It says, gird yourselves and ye shall be broken, what? In pieces. Why? Because of the anointing of God that is upon the servant of God, all of the agenda of the enemy is brought to naught. When the enemy, Balak, came and brought Balaam to curse the people of God, the word of God was very clear. There's not going to be any divination, no enchantment that is going to prosper against the servants of God, because they are marked. They are chosen. There's no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. God is saying to you and I, it doesn't matter what the enemy thinks, his plans will fail. Hallelujah. His plans will what? Fail. Every enemy shall be broken in pieces. Hallelujah. Because this is the rock, and the rock has come and is abiding in you, and whoever falls on this rock is going to be shattered. And whoever the rock falls on, sorry, you are going to be smashed too. So any which way, we win. Hallelujah. The enemy is the one that's going under. Because we've got the new wine and the fresh oil of God. God keeps on anointing us, and anything that tries to get on us slides off. Kabusha. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Slippery, you slippery. Nobody can grab you. Thank you, Jesus. Look at what the Word of God says in the next verse. Take counsel together. God is even telling them, get together, plan all whatever it is you want to plan. And it shall come to what? Not zero. It shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not what? Stand. What is the Word of God saying? It's saying that whatever manipulations, whatever words are declared over you as a child of God, when you have this fresh oil, is going to come to naught. Why? For God is with us. God is on my side. Somebody say, God is on my side. Say it again, God is on my side. Say it again, God is on my side. Jesus is Lord. The Lord says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, I know I'm throwing a lot of passages on you. You've heard one word already, and I'm just pouring some more into your spirit right now. Jesus, our Lord, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me because he hath what? So the Spirit of the Lord cannot be upon him if he is not what? God's Spirit comes on you when you have been anointed. And when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of God came upon him henceforth. Say, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Anoint me with your fresh oil. Anoint me with your fresh oil. Every day of my life, let there be fresh oil on my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive an outpouring of your fresh oil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The fresh oil of God. It must rest on my life. It must rest on your life. Because when you don't have that fresh oil, the old oil goes rancid. It loses its quality. It loses its effectiveness. God wants you to have fresh oil. Just like he wants you to have your daily bread, fresh manna for every day, God wants you to have fresh oil on your life. In other words, it means that you and I need to come to God every day and say, thank you, Lord, for fresh oil for today. And when we have that fresh oil, the enemy gets exposed. If you are going through a situation and you are not aware of what's happening around you, it's because you have not come for the fresh oil for this day. When you have the fresh oil, the devil cannot rest on you. Glory be to God. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Because that anointing breaks the stronghold of poverty. Hallelujah. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That anointing causes broken hearts to be mended. Glory be to God. It brings comfort and restoration. That anointing causes us to preach deliverance to those who have been held captive. It breaks the stronghold of captivity and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so the Lord Jesus Christ moved in that grace. It was by the Spirit of God coming upon the mother that he was born. The Holy Spirit came upon him. But I mean, if you know that he still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that he can overcome. It was one anointing for him to be birthed, but it was another anointing for him to be birthed into his eternal purpose. When you have the fresh oil, you are born into purpose. Somebody receiving this word? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we read these powerful words, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God did what? Anoint. And how does God anoint? With oil. Praise the Lord. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Two things. Holy Ghost and power. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. So we see something here. We first found out that without the anointing, the Spirit of God will not come. Do you remember that? Now we found out something else. That without the Holy Ghost, there is no power. For you shall receive what? Power after. Somebody say after. So we receive the Holy Ghost because we've been anointed with fresh oil. The Holy Ghost comes, and then comes the power. It is one thing for me to see my enemy. It's another thing for me to have power over my enemy. Hello? Are we on the same page? It is not enough to just be anointed. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And after you have the Holy Ghost, you got to have the power. Now, all those things can happen all at the same time. Amen? It can all happen at the same time. Bang, you got all three. Praise God. Oil, Holy Ghost, power. And that's what we want tonight. That's what we want for every day of our lives, because there is a henceforth. He was anointed with Holy Ghost and with power, and because of that, he went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Praise God. For God was what? With him. Somebody say, God is with me. Therefore, I will not falter. In Jesus' mighty name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. Who anointed us? God. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So we see two things coming out of the anointing. One, we are established. Praise God.
in Christ. And the one who anointed us is God Himself. I'm not looking for an anointing from any man. I'm looking for anointing from God Himself. Praise God. Now, I do know that God uses the hands of man to minister. But our faith is not in man, nor in things. Because anyone who places his faith in man will get shipwrecked. My faith is not in anything in this natural world. Because once you place your faith in anything in the natural world, it will fail. Hallelujah. It will what? Fail. Every time. Even the good things will fail. Medication will fail. Hello? Are you listening? So, even if you are taking medication, don't place your faith in the medication. Place your faith in God. Because if you place your faith in that medication, guess what? It will fail you. The mistake so many make is that no matter what it is that they are doing, their faith is shifted to stuff, to people, to things, to programs, and not to God. Hear me, child of God. Place your faith in God. Don't place your faith in anything that's operating in the natural realm. Hallelujah. I pray that you're listening. Because once you place your faith in the natural realm, just like the natural realm decays, you are going to decay with it. The only God, the only one that there's no corruption in is your Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And He gives you His incorruptible word. And you will not have to experience corruption because He does not allow His anointed to experience corruption. Somebody listening. There is no corruption when you have the anointing. But your anointing must be based on you believing that God is with you and that He, God, who anointed you, is the one who is keeping you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, have mercy. Verse 22 says, who had also what? Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There's an earnest, the longing of the Spirit of God that's inside of us, that's always connected to the Father. There is no breakage in the link. No defaulting, no virus penetrating this link between you and God because of the anointing. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, 1 John 2 and 20. It says, but ye have an unction. That's the anointing. From the Holy One, and ye what? Know all things. So the anointing brings you to a place where you are filled with the knowledge concerning whatever it is that you need knowledge for. Praise God. This is something that we must not do without. Praise God. To have an awareness where there's no reason to doubt. Because you know that 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 you know. And the reason you know is because of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, the unction of God upon your life. And verse 21 says this. He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Well, who is the father of lies? The devil. So God is saying, because of the presence of the anointing, you are not going to be deceived. Oh, come on. I must have that fresh anointing. Hallelujah. So that deceptions are not operational in my life. Yesterday's anointing was for yesterday. I need an anointing for today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the devil is on the move and is generating all kinds of new stuff in these dimensions of lies. And I have to be on top of the game at all times so that I'm not submerged under the flood of his workings. But God raises a standard against that enemy. When the enemy comes, God raises a standard that overrides. Praise God. I need that favor of God in my life. Do you receive that? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord says to us in John 20 and verse 22, the Bible says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and he said, what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that in Acts chapter 2, they had to go through that experience again? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, it says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. We need a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. A noise that fills all the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. The Spirit of God gave them utterance, and they began to prophesy and speak in tongues. But how many of you know that in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they needed that fresh oil. So God breathed on them. Then they got filled. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they had prayed, while they were praying, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. This is when they've been commanded not to speak the word of God again. And when persecution had come upon them, and they went back and they cried out to God. And as they cried out to God, fresh oil. Fresh oil. And they became bold. They became emboldened to speak the word of God. They were not going to be intimidated by the powers of darkness. What the enemy would like to do is to bring us to a place where we are timid and intimidated. But when we have the fresh oil of God, there's no intimidation. Hallelujah. We know that whatever their confederacy is and whatever their gatherings might be, no matter how big or small it might be, it will all fall to naught. It shall break to pieces. Someone say, break to pieces. The Bible says, the anointing destroys the yoke. Hallelujah. Declare with me, rise with me and say with me right now. Yoke destroying anointing. Come upon my life and destroy every yoke. Destroy every yoke. Destroy every yoke. Destroy every yoke. Every yoke of the enemy. You are destroyed. Now! Hallelujah. In Jesus' name it is destroyed. You may be seated. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 16. Matthew 9 and verse 16. The Lord says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth with an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. And then he adds this statement, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into what? New bottles, and both the wine and the bottles are preserved. Praise God. The word of God says, he says to us, he says, we are new creations. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. But as a passage of scripture right there that we miss, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, before verse 17, it says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no what? No more. Guess what? The completion of that sentence is we know him no more after the flesh. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that we have read, we've studied, and we have heard messages about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in the past, in the flesh. But God is saying to us, that was then. Hello? That was what? Then he says, I want to do a new thing. And if you believe in me, the works that I did, you're going to do also, but you're going to do greater. The greater and the new things. So we need to, yes, we are reading the Bible, but our point of contact is in keeping our ears open to hear what the Lord will say to us about new things that are happening in our world. Please. There are new things happening in our world. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, they were riding on horses and donkeys. Hello? But today is today. Today we ride donkeys and horses for sport. Hallelujah. We might still say horsepower, but there's no horses underneath. It's totally different. So then they use whatever it is they used, but whatever they used to take care of their horses then, we cannot use to take care of our vehicles now. So we've got to have updated information to deal with updated problems. Life is not static. It's a move. And I need to know what I need to do today, because I'm having fresh oil that is giving me revelation for what I need to do now, because what I need to do now may be very different from what I used to do. And what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about? If you read the passage, there was a man called John who is questioning whether Jesus is the real deal, because Jesus is on the move. And it was not based on the traditional Pharisaic ways that they knew. Jesus was on the move. He was dining with sinners. And John the Baptist is hearing all these miracles and is wondering. I was in the wilderness. And this guy is doing what? This does not. But Jesus said, whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I'm going to do. And with the fresh oil, it brings us to that place where we are more aware of what God is doing than what God had done. Oh, shikalabatosuke. I am interested in knowing what God is doing. Thank God for what he had done. But this one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. And God is calling us to press towards a higher calling, a higher purpose. God, what will you do? What are you doing in my city? What are you doing in my country? What are you doing in my family? God, what are you doing? I need to know. I need to be in line with your divine purpose. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, fresh oil for a new day. That's what I want. I don't know what you want, but that's what I want. I want to know what my Father is doing today. Because whatever it is that he's doing today is what's relevant for this day. I am not going to be a part of an irrelevant church. I want to be part of the church of Jesus Christ that is relevant for all ages. Is that what your prayer is tonight? But if we are going to be that, then we cannot expect the new wine to be in old wineskin. We're not going to bring the new cloth to patch old material, because it's going to get worse. And if we put new wine into old wineskin, the old wineskin has stretched itself to its maximum level, and now you put new wine, and that new wine begins to expand it, and it's going to tear everything up. So I need God to make me a new wineskin. Rise with me. Say with me, Lord, make me a new wineskin for your new vision, for your new purpose, for a destiny that will not be tortured by the enemy. I refuse the limitations of yesterday. For this day, in this now, I embrace your newness. Make me a new wineskin in the mighty name of Jesus. I am now a new wineskin, ready to receive your new wine. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The new wine is about the outpouring of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But I like what the Word of God says in Amos 9 and verse 13. In Amos 9 and verse 13. The Word of God says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. This is a totally different setting. The plowman overtakes the reaper. What is the word of God saying? He says, it's saying to us, I'm going to bring you to a seasonless time. In other words, I'm going to bring you into a realm where seasons do not determine where you are. Because what I'm going to do is not going to be limited by seasons because of the supernatural abundance. Oh, I don't know if you're getting it. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. So the reaper is busy reaping the past, the old. But the plowman is already. Hello. It says, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop what? Sweet wine. And all the hills shall what? Melt. By the anointing, mountains are going to be leveled. Hallelujah. This is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our sight. God saying, listen, I'm bringing you to a place where you are not going to understand what's going on because it's all mixed up. It's all mixed up. What used to be at that time, you knew that was sowing time, and this is harvest time. And God says, that's not going to exist anymore. Sowing time and harvest time is going to be mixed up. Why is that? Because God is saying to us, are you ready? I am not going to be limited to seasons. Somebody shout hallelujah. I am not going to be limited to what? Seasons. This is what partnering with God is going to look like for us. Not limited to what? Seasons. Say it with me. Father, I receive the grace to operate in every season because every season gets mixed up. There's no more harvest time and sowing time. It's always harvest time and it's always so in time. Woo! Glory be to God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, beginning to wrap up, it says, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, this Peter who once upon a time was saying, I don't know him, I don't know Jesus, I don't know him, and was swearing heaven and earth and cursing. The guy, Peter, said cursing. This is supposed to be a disciple of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he stands up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you supposing it is, but the what? Third hour of the day. Verse 16. But this is what that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, said God. And that was the beginning. We are in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Praise God. And your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy. And your young men shall do what? See visions. And your old men shall do what? Dream dreams. I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my what? Spirit. And they shall what? So, servants, handmaidens are prophesying. Is that what it says? Let's go back to verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall do what? So your sons, your daughters prophesy. Your servants prophesy. Guess what it's saying? Everyone involved in your family. Hey! All of your family. Say, my family shall prophesy because the fresh oil is coming upon my family. My household shall be saved. Somebody shout hallelujah. Kore balada sikaya. The Lord said something to me a few days back. Kande barado shikaya. He said, son, I'm bringing my church, my people, to a place. You see, for you to have oil from the olive, you got to crush it. For you to have wine out of the grapes, you've got to crush it. The father said, I'm bringing my sons and my daughters to a place where they are not going to have to go through any crushing for the oil to flow.
I'm going to bring them to a place where they don't have to go through any crushing for the wine to flow, because I am going to produce the oil. I am going to be the God who pours the oil over them in the name of Jesus. The oil is not going to come from you. It's going to come from God. Somebody shout hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is doing his own thing. He is not having any confidence in man to do it. So he says, I'm going to take care of it myself. Hallelujah. My son went through the crushing so that you don't have to. Ikaladavosha. Hallelujah. Jesus died on the cross so that I don't have to die on it. He took on the curse so that I don't have to have the curse. I will be greatly benefited by everything my Lord and my Savior had done. This is what grace is all about. He is at the center of it all. I do not place confidence in myself. I place my confidence in him. I ask you to bring bottles of oil today. But let me say to you loud and clear, do not put your confidence in the oil. It is just a point of contact to remind you as you put that oil that this is the doing of the Lord and he's doing a work in you. In fact, Bible tells us in the book of Exodus about how the oil of anointing was to be put together. So I want you to listen to me now. God says that that oil was so holy that it was not to come on the flesh of anybody. Because if you put it on yourself, you die. So, come with me. So the question then is this. That was in the Old Testament. God says, this is so holy, you put it on you, you finish. Your goose is cooked. So, Pastor, you want me to get the oil so I can die? No, not like that, not like that. Well, there is a death. The death is a death to the flesh. God is saying to us, I don't want you to make this a natural thing, but let it be a spiritual connection between you and me as your priest. As you stand as a priest, the priest of God, who must keep himself pure and holy, was allowed to put the oil on themselves. It is not for every Dick and Harry. So if you put oil in here, be certain that you are a priest of the Lord, a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto the Lord. Don't be putting oil
on yourself when you are busy operating in bitterness and strife and confusion and living in sin. You will die, oh. Let me speak it with Nigerian accent. You will die, oh. Don't do it. Hello? Okay. You heard me. Don't go and die. Hallelujah. God calls us to holiness, to be a new wineskin. Amen? Okay. So, this oil is infused by the presence and glory of God. Now stand in righteousness, knowing that God is with you, and if God be with you and for you, nothing shall ever be able to stand against you. Your faith is not in it. Your faith is in God, who himself is anointing you. Do you receive that word? You receive it? You sure you did? Okay. Amen. You know, that's why so many believers are so sick and they die anyhow. They take the oil and use it wrongly. Live and not die, and testify the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You receive the word of the Lord? Okay. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the blessings that we have in you, for your divine purpose established in our lives. We say yes, yes, and amen to your purpose. We come before you, we repent before you of all unrighteousness, and we elect by the authority of your everlasting word to live godly in a godless world. We choose, O God, to walk uprightly before you. And we ask, O God, that your anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens establish your people in righteousness and in truth. Be magnified, King of kings and Lord of lords. Let our yes be yes and our no, no. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the last day of November, and we're stepping into the month December. You may be seated for a moment. And God has a plan and a purpose for us. Our next gathering is, in real terms, going to be the most important one for this year. God is going to meet us individually and corporately. Amen. Before we come and honor God with our gifts of faith, I want to share with you the promo for the next meeting. I'll ask the department to play it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I trust that you saw the images that were being shown. The pregnant woman and child in the womb, but then born. Amen. The caterpillar that became the butterfly. Our theme is be manifest. There will be a manifestation of the promises of God that He has spoken over our lives. Light is going to be forced out of darkness, whether it likes it or not. Amen? You and I are going to break forth and we are going to shine brightly. Hallelujah. There is not anything that is going to stop what God has on His agenda for my life, for your life, for this church. We have a God who is going to make certain that He is not, watch this now, He is not going to be made a liar by the devil. Praise God. If He said it, He shall bring it to pass. There must be a manifestation. You receive that word? All right. Well, let us come. Let us honor God with our giving. Honor God and give generously. When we have these special meetings, those are set times for us to do even more for the breakthroughs that we want in our lives. Those of you that are online, receive the word of God. Honor God with your giving. Let us demonstrate our faith and our love for the gospel in our giving. Trust God for it. And position yourself to receive full impact. Praise God. I'm going to ask that Mama joins me. Blessed be the name of the living God.
Praise God.
Some of you were wondering about what I said about the anointing oil. Go to Exodus chapter 30 from verse 20 plus. You'll read about it there. Exodus 30, starting from verse 20. I didn't want to leave that loose without you having a reference point because I said some heavy stuff there, so you know why. Okay? All right. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Lord, in asking, O God, for revival, we acknowledging that we are not where we should be. And even as you spoke your word and caused dry bones to come together, and you breathe into those dry bones and they came alive and became an exceeding great army. We are asking, Father, that this day, O God, that there will be a revival. Amen. For each son, each daughter, each family. That there'll be an awakening, O God, to your realities. And that our pursuit will be for you, Most High God. We seek you. And as we take of this body, we'll link, O God, by faith to your everlasting word. You said you will eat this with us again.
Yes.
As we take it, we say, Lord, Maranatha, come, Lord. Let us have the great supper with you. Healed, restored, made whole, established and truly fulfilled in every area of our lives. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Take and eat.
Say with me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Forgive me all my sins.
Forgive me all my sins.
Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus.
I receive
the fullness
of what you have paid for,
in
my life.
I receive freedom
from the chains of Satan. I receive freedom from the things of this world.
I receive freedom
from every sin and its stronghold. In the name of Jesus, I receive your love. I receive your peace. I receive your joy. I receive your strength. I receive the Holy Spirit.
I
receive power. In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Be made every with whole. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, thank God for every one of you. I thank God that you are able to participate in person and virtually in this particular conference. Tomorrow is Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday of the month. And therefore, it is our Leadership Wednesday. So all of our leaders will congregate together. It is not a Wednesday that the general rest of the congregation can come to service at. It's just for our leaders. This is our time of pouring into those that are leaders who are serving in particular ministries. The rest of you will have a broadcast online, so you can go online. Not on Zoom, but on Facebook and on YouTube, and there will be a broadcast for you to participate in. The same is true for Friday. You'll have a prayer meeting online that will be broadcast for you, but the leaders are going to be meeting separately for our time of reflecting together. Amen? And for the rest of the month, there is not going to be regular prayer meetings or Bible studies, except what you're going to get during the special meetings and so on and so forth. All right? Make sense?
I just want to say something before you close. Please. I want to give God praise for Dr. Bishop Felix Omobude.
Yes.
You know, I want to thank God for his life. I knew him a long time ago. You know, I don't look the same way, so probably he wouldn't recognize how I look now, but praise the Lord. You know, we all were in the same church before he founded his own church. So, and he's always walked with God. And it's good to see him after so many decades still walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
You know, he was one of the first set of original pastors that came out of our late pastor, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, and they all served God faithfully, and he still continues. Many have gone, but he's still faithful. And that was his church. You saw the Mercy Chinwo was praising the Lord from. You know her because you sing her song all the time, XX Love. So that's the person that wrote that song and sang that song. So praise the Lord. You know, and also he was also my mother's pastor, you know. My mother was a late bloomer that gave herself to the Lord. I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord when I went home to, the Lord showed me my dad is going to exit earth to heaven, and I just left. Nobody knew I was coming. I showed up. So that same day, they both surrendered their life to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And
so
we were
that
just talking about you when you came.
Yeah, my dad was just talking about me, and I walked through the door. So praise the Lord. Now, if you know the Nigerian culture, my father and my mother knelt down before Jesus to ask Jesus. I didn't tell them to do that. They did that. It's a forbidden thing. An elder does not kneel before a younger, but they knelt before the Lord, and I had the privilege for him rededicating himself to the Lord. So I went to his church and thanked him. Three months from when God showed me, God told me 3 months, and 3 months my dad moved to heaven. So praise the Lord. God does give eyes to see.
Yes.
And God does speak. So what he said to us tonight in this service, take it serious. You want the Holy Ghost, he will give it to you.
Amen.
You want to see, he will give you eyes to see.
Yes.
You want to hear, he will give you ear to hear.
That's right.
But you have to just surrender. Say, I surrender.
I surrender.
Stop doing your own thing. If you fail at it, just repent and move on. Say amen.
Amen.
So we're going to a new place. I pray all of us go together.
Yes.
Together. What God has promised us as a ministry, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
I do remember the Lord said it will be end time soul harvesting. So, and when you see this ministry take off beyond measure, then you know the Lord is already here.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
So continue to press in and press forward. Forget the past. The past you can never get in there again. It's gone. We look forward to Jesus.
Amen.
Say, Lord Jesus. So rise with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Do something with this life.
Do something with this
Fill
life.
Me through and through.
Fill me through and
Use
through.
Use my life.
Use my life.
To the glory of your name.
To the glory of your name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Just one last thing. I would like for us to please pray for the family of a dear man of God that went home to be with the Lord this morning. I don't know if you have heard about it, but the president of Daystar, Marcus Lamb, went home to be with the Lord today. It's a big loss, precious to the Lord is the death of his servants, and his family and his ministry do need our fervent prayer and support. Yes. Amen. Yes. This is a difficult time, because this is a man that has reached our world powerfully. We have no explanation for what happened, why it happened, but we do know that God is still a good God.
Amen.
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 And so let's continue to pray for this family.
Let's just say a quick prayer for them. Please. Father, we lift the Lamb family before you.
Yes, Lord.
We lift Dr. Marcus family before you.
Mm.
He's done his race. He's done so much for the kingdom of God. Champion for Israel. Champion for the nations. Over 220 nations of the earth, the word goes forth on a daily basis. Lord, we ask now that you will comfort the family.
Yes, Lord.
He has finished his race and gone into his reward.
Yes, Lord.
So Lord, the remaining people alive, the wife, the children, the grandchildren, their spouses, the ministry, Father, remember it now.
Amen.
Comfort and strengthen.
Yes,
and then
Lord.
The body of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let this work not die.
In Jesus'
Put
name.
Your resurrection life into it.
Amen.
That the gospel will continue to be preached.
Yes, Father.
All over the world.
Yes,
that
Father.
Many will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Yes.
We speak
yes,
shalom, Lord. Shalom over them.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. And we celebrate with thanksgiving every one of you today.
Amen.
Please do pick up your bottles. Make sure you don't take somebody else's bottle.
Praise God. Anybody on Zoom?
Yes. I see